is redemption.
Coming to you live from Section 5, Row 23, this is the Forever Faithful Podcast. What is going down, 49er Faithful? Welcome to another edition of the Forever Faithful Podcast. I'm JD, joined as always by JP and 49er Tone. And man, guys, it's here. Football is here. It's in the air. Training camps are going on. We just had the Hall of Fame speech over the weekend. The Hall of Fame game was played. The Niners are playing a football game in a matter of hours, people. It's here. Football is here, and I cannot tell you how excited I am. I know JP and Tone, I know you guys are hyped for it, man. I can't believe it. Like, when you're going through the offseason, it just feels like football is never going to get here. And then one day you wake up and you say, hey, we got a game today. So I don't know about you guys, but I'm pumped up. I'm feeling like, you know, Brian Dawkins when he came out on that Hall of Fame stage doing the Wolverine bear crawl. I'm feeling like Ray Lewis doing the Ray Lewis dance on the Hall of Fame stage. You know, I'm hyped up. I'm ready. So, JP, man, how are you feeling, man? We're here. Football is here, man. How are you feeling?
Oh, boy. I'm hyped, man. Feels like Christmas. I can't wait for the game to get started to see, you know, how the roster evolves. And, there's no better time of year, man.
Tone, what about you, brother? I mean, we were at training camp the other day, so we've already kind of gotten a taste of it. But how are you feeling, bro?
Well, I'm excited, but first off, I wanted to say shout out to my brothers JP and JD for holding it down for the last episode. I actually got to listen to it a couple of days ago, so props to you guys. Thanks for holding me down. Sorry, I wasn't able to make it, but I'm back, and I'll be back every week, of course, just some unfortunate circumstances. So thank you guys for holding me down. But yeah, I'm very excited, man. This is an exciting time. We have that dead space, after basketball, middle of the baseball season. All of a sudden, football pops up, and bam, it's here. And it just starts rolling. So, man, this is definitely one of the most exciting times, right when football is starting. And man, I can't wait, man. We're only a couple days away.
All right, so you know what? Let's just cut the bull and hop right on into it here on first down. For anybody that's been listening, you know that 49er Tone and myself made a trip out to Santa Clara last weekend for Niners training camp on Sunday, July 29th, and we had a good time out there, man. It was fun. It was great to be back out, at Levi's Stadium next door at the practice facility. Getting to hear the pads crack, smelling the grass, hearing the whistles blow, just being around football. And so I figure we could take this first down here, and Tone and I can talk about what we saw at camp, what the experience was like, and, just talk about what we saw when we were out there, at the practice facility. So, Tone, would you want to get us started, bro?
Yeah, so I get a I wake up and I get a call and a text from my brother saying he was here already, and I'm not too far from the stadium, so I say I'm getting ready, and I got to meet JD in the parking lot over there. We're first ones in line, and we took the little shuttle. I don't know why there's a shuttle, but we took the little shuttle, which is like 30-second ride to the practice facility. And yeah, man, we get there, we get front row on the bench, and everybody's starting to fill everything up. Everybody got their Niner gear on. Everybody's excited to see the team. I mean, it was a great atmosphere. And then all of a sudden, one of the security guards, ladies or whatever, just said, "Hey, you guys want to get right on the field?" JD, I'm on the phone. JD gets the first row access right on the grass. And so I follow him. We're right there front. Literally, the 49er players are literally not even, barely 10 feet away. I mean, they're right in our face, practicing, doing drills, getting ready. I mean, it was exciting. It was an awesome experience. As far as training camp goes, you know, it's the usual. They warm up, you know, they start doing drills, then they got the one-on-ones, and then they start doing the 7-on-7s, 11-on-11s. And then me and JD, we'll talk about what we've seen. But as far as the experience goes, it was absolutely incredible. And just, you know, we got a bunch of video footage, pictures and stuff. I mean, they were right there. And usually when I go to training camp, they keep the fans like on the bench. So, I mean, you're still close. But to give us right there front row right on the grass, I mean, that was awesome. That was incredible.
You know, it was funny because when we walked in, we sat down on the bleachers, and the first thing I did is I talked to one of the staff, one of the employees, and I said, "Hey, you know, I've been seeing that fans have gotten to sit on the grass front row. What's up with that? You know, can we sit down there?" And they said, "Oh no, you know, we don't really talk about that too much. But what we want to do is fill up the bleachers first, and then have everybody, you know, that's left over kind of sit on the field." So, you know, as soon as we fill up the bleachers, people can start sitting down there. So I'm sitting, I'm looking, I'm waiting, I'm watching like a damn hawk, right? I'm looking, watching people sit in the bleachers, you know, one by one, it's filling up row by row. And as soon, and I'm not kidding you, literally the second that I saw the first person sit down on the grass, then, you know, the staff allowed them to sit on the grass, I was gone. Tone didn't even see me. He was on the phone. He didn't know where I was at. He looks over. I'm not even next to him anymore. I'm sitting down there on the field looking at him. I'm like, "Hey, get down here, man. Get down here." And so, you know, he came down, and bam, there we were, literally right behind the rope barricade that they had set up. And we're, you know, we're feet from the players. We're feet from the practice. And, you know, we got to sit there on the field. And, you know, it wasn't too bad, you know, sitting there on the grass the whole time. Being up close and personal like that was really cool. You know, you get to see the players walking back and forth in front of you, media members walking back and forth. I know Tone got to talk to 49er beat writer Grant Cohn briefly when we were there. I mean, you're that up close and personal. And I have to commend the 49ers for doing training camp the way that they do it. Because, under the Harbaugh regime, the Balky regime, and even, you know, all the way up until, you know, Chip Kelly, fan access was kind of limited. They weren't as open with the fans as they've been in years past. And I know John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan made it a point of emphasis to say, "No, you know what? We want the fans here. We want the fans loud. We want them engaged. We need the fans to be a part of this because it's a part of what makes the team better. You know, they want to play better in front of the fans. You know, the crowd noise is a factor. They wanted the fans to be up close and personal." So I just really commend the Niners for doing training camp the way that they are. Only 2,000 fans per practice, so it's really up close, really intimate, really personal. And we had a really good time. Like I said, we're sitting up there in the front row, got to see all the practice, and me and Tone will talk about that here in a second. But we also were able to get autographs after practice because we were right there in the front row. I got Dante Pettis' autograph, Richie James, Aldrick Robinson. I know Tone got, you know, the same players. He also got a selfie with Richie James, which I don't know why I didn't think of that. But, you know, we were up there close and personal, man. And, you know, we didn't see the guy that stole Victor Bolden's helmet, by the way. We were there that same day, but we didn't see the dude that stole Victor Bolden's helmet. Fortunately, it got returned to him. But, man, that wasn't a good look because, you know, fans like us, we like being up close and personal. And the last thing we need is some dumbass, you know, ruining the fun for everybody. But, Tone, what did you think about the way the Niners did it, the way they let the fans get up close and personal, how we were able to get the autograph so easily and you know, being up close like that?
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. it's, you know, the 49ers, the way they're doing the training camp and giving the fans the access to it. I mean, this is like almost a daily thing now. If you can get your hands on those tickets, on those 2,000 tickets, you know, that's, you. I mean, it's incredible experience if you can get your hands on one of them. You know, like you said, Harbaugh, Balky, you know, Harbaugh comes from that, that Raider, old Al Davis, philosophy, you know, where they block everything off, paranoid. You know, that's the cool thing about Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch. They're like, hey, we don't care. You guys come, we're going to give the access. And guess what? If anything comes out, guess what? We're still going to beat you on Sunday anyway. So I really love that philosophy and that confidence in what the 49ers are doing. But I absolutely loved it. Now, I do wish that certain times they would let us record. I know they stopped. There got to a certain point in practice where they make us, you can't pull your phone out at all. And I understand, but I do wish they were a little more lenient on certain things, because we got a Reuben Foster play to talk about that I wish I got to be able to record. But other than that, man, it was a great experience. And this experience is, because the 49ers do have camps where, you know, it's at Levi's Stadium, or it's even like at Kezar, where you got thousands and thousands and thousands of people there, and, you know, you're watching the practice. And after a while, honestly, even the most diehard fans, it starts getting a little boring. With this training camp, because you're so up close and personal, and you see what they're doing, and, I mean, it's just right there. It's definitely exciting. I mean, you're into the whole practice. Also, I kind of wish they didn't have the music, but again, I understand, because they don't want everybody to hear every single thing, so they got the DJ and playing a bunch of music real loud. But other than that, I mean, you're really into the practice, and it's cool to see get the autographs, the players coming up. You know, I mean, it was just a great, the 49ers are doing it right. And I give so much props to the organization for giving the fans that type of access.
Most definitely. You know, we had a really good time.
I got a couple questions for y'all.
Yeah. Go ahead, JP. Sorry.
No, it's all good. No, yeah. So I, as some of you listeners may know, I wasn't there at training camp. You two were. So I just wanted to, like, get a vibe. Like, how was the crowd? You know, how everything ended last year, the hype beast that is, you know, this 49ers organization and Jimmy Garoppolo. Were the fans, could you feel the fans, you know, hyped up? And also, we've heard from many people, Joe Staley in particular, saying that this locker room is like compared to none other his whole career. So could you really feel the vibe with the players as well? Because I know in past, there was, you know, real tense practices and training camp. So just if you guys saw anything like on the field, with the players and how they were vibing, and then also the fans, how was that hype train going?
Well, the fans were hyped. You know, you can feel the anticipation in the air. You know, everybody's getting excited. It was one of the first few days of camp, so everyone was hyped to be there. And, you know, yeah, the fans were definitely into it, especially every time they got a glimpse of Jimmy G. Every time they got a glimpse of Jimmy G, every time he got under center and got to throw a pass, the team or the fans were extremely excited. You know, on our side of the field, we got to see a lot of the defensive players. So we got up close to Reuben and Richard Sherman and, you know, those kind of guys. So the fans, they were excited, most definitely. But the VIPs on the other side of the field got a lot of the individual offensive drills early on in the practice, so they got a better look at that kind of stuff. But the fans were definitely hyped. As far as the camaraderie of the roster, I mean, you could see it. They were joking around. They were supporting each other on the sidelines. One thing, you know what, Tone? I'll let you take this one, Tone. We saw almost every player defensively, particularly the defensive backs and defensive coordinator Robert Saleh. They were talking to Richard Sherman every chance on that they got on the sideline throughout the entire practice. Tone, why don't you talk about what you saw from the defense and kind of how they were responding to Sherman?
Well, I'll say this. The 49ers might have a future defensive coordinator in Richard Sherman. But the reason I say that is we've seen the entire defense from the first string, second string, third string to guys that won't have a job in a month, right? Everybody was getting words of encouragement from Richard Sherman. Everybody was into it with Richard Sherman. I mean, this signing is going to turn out, and I'm very confident in saying this, and I think you guys would agree. This signing is going to turn out to be one of the biggest signings in Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch's tenure, just for the simple fact that he might not be the same Richard Sherman, in the future, but his knowledge and his teaching and getting these young guys ready and showing them the ropes, I mean, it's paying dividends already. You see, I've seen Witherspoon last year as a rookie compared to this year, and just him in practice alone, he's a total different player. Last year, I've seen him get burned. I've seen him throwing a fit. You know, I mean, not throwing a fit, but just frustrated, you know, and I mean, he's a rookie. So, you know, he's got to learn. But this year, I see a confident Witherspoon. I see Witherspoon looking at the crowd, signing little kids' autographs during practice, just having a big smile on his face. You know, the confidence is there. And even the guys who are not going to make the team, Sherman is coming up to him in between plays, giving them high fives, talking to them, teaching them. Shit, he was even going to Sala in between defensive plays and giving his opinion on things. And I mean, it's the knowledge and what he's doing and the value that he brings to this organization. It's unbelievable. So that's what we've seen on the defensive end. We've seen guys, of course, you know, doing their drills, learning, you know, trying to get everybody on the same page. I know the coaches was running in the offense. Kyle Shanahan was actually a quarterback for a couple of drills. But they, you know, they're basically trying to communicate on defense on certain plays and stuff. But everybody was looking at Richard Sherman. And, his knowledge is just, it's unbelievable what he's bringing to this defense.
Yeah, it was really crazy to see how the team interacted with one another up close, how influential Richard Sherman really is. And, you know, that was the day that Marquise Goodwin torched Richard Sherman on a one-on-one drill on a deep ball for, you know, Richard Sherman's first practice rep back. You know, coming off that Achilles tear, that first individual matchup. So everyone made a big deal about that. And, you know, we know it's training camp. We know it's practice. Marquise Goodwin is an Olympic, you know, caliber sprinter. He's one of the fastest players in the league. So seeing Richard Sherman get burnt like that, I wasn't worried about it. It didn't concern me. And, of course, you know, if you paid attention in the following days after that practice, you saw that Richard Sherman – played, you know, a lot better in the coming practices, had an interception of Jimmy Garoppolo, had some good reps against Pierre Garçon, played flawlessly in the red zone. And then, you know, of course, he kind of got dinged up here a couple days ago, but we'll get into that here a little bit later. But I think the demise of Richard Sherman has been greatly exaggerated based off that day that we were at practice and Marquise Goodwin, you know, took it to him a little bit. But I'm not concerned about it. But regardless, what we saw from Sherman that day at practice, him as a mentor, him as a leader of the defense, because don't get it twisted, he is the leader on the defense. He's going to earn his money, you know, even if his play slips a little bit, just because of how he was on the field and how big he is in that locker room. Another thing we saw at training camp, and we don't want to, you know, we're going to wrap this up here in a second. But another thing we saw – was Matt Breida is looking really good. You know, everything he does, he runs hard. He's catching the ball out of the backfield. He's looking like a guy who's gaining a lot of confidence. And that was on full display in a one-on-one drill against Reuben Foster, where and this is almost right in front of us. I mean, just to the right, like barely off to the side. Reuben matched up against Breida. Breida runs kind of like an out route, a quick out route. But as soon as he makes that break to the outside, he plants his foot and cuts back to the inside, kind of like an arrow route. And he left Reuben Foster in the dust. Reuben Foster damn near fell down. I mean, he shook Reuben out of his shoes, drew the oohs and ahs from the crowd, and Reuben couldn't even catch up. Like he tried to sprint after him, and it was a wrap at that point. So that play really opened my eyes to Matt Breida. Like, he might have a really big role this year. He's looking really good. Tone, what did you think of that play, and what did you think of Matt Breida on that day?
Yeah, you know, we're actually talking about it right before that play happened. And, yeah, I always liked Breida. I liked his speed, and I love what he brought to complement to Carlos Hyde. So I was kind of interested on how he's going to complement McKinnon and even Williams and see how that works. But as far as that play goes, that was like a Tim Hardaway crossover. Or shoot, JD, you're a Kings fan, that like white chocolate Williams, Jason Williams, you know, crossing over somebody. I mean, he moved and Reuben Foster did like a stutter backwards. I mean, it was an awesome move by Breida, and that was encouraging. But, you know, Foster, shake it off. It had the whole crowd like, ooh, you know, one of those. That was a hell of a move. And like I said, I wish because I was recording, and right before that happened, me and JD were talking. Right before that happened, the people said to stop recording. So I was like, ah, I wish I got that footage. But, yeah, that was crazy. Yeah, you know, I always liked Breida, and I think Breida with this offense, you know, just like last year, I think he's going to do some damage. But the thing is how well is it going to complement with the other backs? And I'm excited to see Williams, man. That's who I'm really excited to see.
Most definitely. Well, we'll wrap up first down here with that little training camp recap. You know, we'll get into a lot more training camp stuff here as we get through this podcast. But we wanted to definitely address that real quick. So let's move on to second down here. So here on second down, we want to get into kind of the good and the bad so far in Niners camp as they get ready for their first preseason game this week against the Dallas Cowboys. JP, why don't you lead us off here and then give us something that you've noticed that's on the good side of things from training camp so far.
Yeah, man. Some things that I've been reading and some of the highlights that I've been seeing. One guy I want to really talk about is Dante Pettis. I mean, he is absolutely just dominating some of the DBs, some of the one-on-one drills. He's quick. He's explosive. He gets out of his routes amazingly quickly. So he's someone that is definitely something to look out for. I don't know if I read this correctly, but I saw that he was given a Veterans Day off the other day. I'm not sure exactly how that happened, you know, being a rookie, but he's really impressed a lot of people. He's quick, he's shifty. And I think that he fits perfectly into Shanahan's system. Of course, you know, the Jimmy Garoppolo and Marquise Goodwin connection has been on all training camp. They've connected countless amounts of times. And I think he's really built up a good relationship, you know, even leading off from continuing off from last year. I think they played, you know, really well together. So those are the two big wide receiver names that I've seen. Defensively, as always, you know, Foster, I know you guys are just talking about how, you know, Matt Breida broke his ankles or whatnot, but he's definitely been beasting out there, and it's to be expected. He's one of the best young linebackers in the league. So and someone else who's surprising, like you wouldn't really think, is I think he was our 7th round pick, Julian Taylor. I've been hearing a lot of good stuff about him. He's a defensive tackle, I believe, defensive end. He plays on the D line. He's looking really good, and you know, who knows now with Eric Armstead is out for a little bit. You know, and that's not good. That's not a good way to start out his season, because this is pretty much a prove it year for Eric Armstead, and for him to start off this early in the year with a hamstring injury, that's not good. I'll get into more a couple other guys that I'm pretty disappointed in, but so far, what are the standout guys for you guys? I know I've touched on the big one in Dante Pettis. Anybody else that you guys like seeing there?
Tone, why don't you take this one, brother?
Well, I agree with Pettis. You know, and we actually got to meet him too. And I actually told him, I was like, hey, man, you're my favorite pick on the podcast. He just smiled and started to say thank you and started laughing. But as far as standouts, you know, you hit Pettis. Of course, Goodwin. I mean, that's an obvious choice just for the simple fact that it sounds like, even with the chemistry with Jimmy Garoppolo, it sounds like he is emerging as the number one receiver and actually living up to that status. Because, you know, he didn't live up to that status in Buffalo. You know, and then here it was like, okay, that was a good pickup. But now it looks like he has the quarterback, he has the speed, and he's just getting better and better. And, I love hearing about Goodwin. But what do you guys think about Fred Warner? You know, we've seen him in training camp. I've heard a lot of good things with him. I just hope he continues to learn. But what's your thoughts on Warner?
You know, seeing him up close and personal at that training camp practice and reading everything that we've read and watching all the video that they've put out, Fred Warner is looking like the best coverage linebacker that this team has as a rookie. I mean, that's nothing to you know, turn your nose at. He's a 6'3", you know, linebacker. He's huge for the position, and he's the best coverage guy that we have, including Reuben Foster, who is an absolute athletic freak. So for this team to draft a guy in the 3rd round who is going to get significant playing time, you're going to see him on the field when Reuben is suspended the first 2 games, and after that, I don't think they're going to be able to get him off the field. I think they're going to have to play Fred Warner alongside, you know, Reuben Foster and Malcolm Smith. So hearing all the things that we've heard about Fred Warner, you know, I'm encouraged big time. I wasn't sure about him initially because, you know, he was a mid-round pick coming out of, you know, where he out of BYU, and you know, they weren't really too high on him too much. He was kind of an underrated prospect, wasn't very, you know, overly hyped. But now we're seeing why they took him and why they kind of reached and got him where they did, because they feel he is, you know, a guy that's going to be able to team up with Reuben Foster and create some havoc out there. And I'm excited to see what Fred Warner is going to do. Now, another positive during this training camp that I've paid attention to is most definitely Joe Williams. Joe Williams, the running back who was, you know, on Kyle Shanahan's, you know, bad list in his doghouse last year, based on his effort in practice and his attention to detail and just his overall focus out there on the field. You know, they put him on IR last year, kind of gave him a sit down and learn season. He had a minor ankle injury in preseason last year. I mean, he could have came back, no problem. But he had, you know, fumbling issues, and he had attitude issues out there on the field. And so they put him on the shelf last year. They said, you know what, it'll be better for you to sit back and learn and listen and just see what it's like to be a pro. And coming out here in this training camp, Joe Williams has been most definitely one of the highlights of camp. Every day he's making a big run. Every day you hear the writers talking about, man, Joe Williams looked good today. Joe Williams is running really hard. Joe Williams, you know, is flashing out there each and every day. And to see that happen, that's awesome to see because the guy fits the scheme perfectly, and I like it. I'm hyped about it. Tone, I know you wanted to talk about Joe Williams. What are your thoughts on what you've seen from number 32?
Man, it's been nothing but great things. You know, seeing him up close and personal at the training camp, I mean, you could just see the talent, and talent is there, man. And I'm very excited to see him. And it's one of those things where is you got to give John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, but you got to give Lynch credit. I mean, this is totally different from what Trent Baalke would have had when we redshirted a guy and you just never hear from him again. I mean, this guy basically was redshirted his rookie year, and he comes back and he's better than he's ever been. So I'm very excited to see Williams out there. And, you know, we'll get into the Dallas preview as well. But, you know, I'm just excited to see him, man. He looks good. And I was asking you what at the training camp, like what do you think his style reminds you of? And you said, like, what, Garrison Hurst? And, you know, he can do everything. And that just made me so excited to hear because, you know, a player like that is going to be very – well, one, is going to be very crucial for this offense. But, I mean, just an Army Swiss knife as a running back, oh, man. Yeah, I'm very excited to see him, man.
Yeah, I mean, obviously comparing him to a guy like Garrison Hurst is premature, but I'm just talking about when you look at him run, when you watch him run, when you watch him hit the hole, just the style with which he runs, if you superimposed Joe Williams and Garrison Hurst and put them together on the same kind of graphic, like you know how they do at the combine when they have everybody matched up running the 40, and they show you everybody running the 40 at the exact same time, and they kind of show you how everybody matches up. If you did that with Garrison Hurst and Joe Williams running the football, it'd be hard to tell them apart. They look really similar in just the style that they run, the body language, just how they look when they run. And Joe Williams has been, you know, keeping his legs moving through all the practice plays that I've seen where he gets wrapped up and he just keeps his legs churning and finishes the run. So I'm excited to see Joe Williams in this preseason. He flashed last year in the preseason. You know, he had the fumbling issues, and to be honest, he's had some of those issues here in this camp as well. But I can't wait to see what happens when they finally get out there on the field, and I want to see what Joe Williams can do. So I think that kind of wraps up the positives from this training camp. Very quickly, let's get into the negatives. And I know that, you know, talking about the negatives, especially me, we can be really long-winded with this, but let's just try and, you know, keep the bad stuff to a minimum. Let's talk, you know, we can hit on it, but let's not spend too much time on it because, you know what, they know who they are. They know what they're doing wrong. They know they're out there screwing up. They hear the fans booing or cheering or you know, criticizing, whatever. They see everything the media is writing. So let's just real quick talk about some negatives that we've seen here in training camp. I'll go ahead and start real quick. The first really big negative thing that I've paid attention to is Eric Armstead. Now, I know Eric Armstead and his family a little bit. He's from my area, my neck of the woods up here in Northern California. He lived just outside of Sacramento in a little suburb called Elk Grove, California. You know, I've been pulling for him since we drafted him. I know him and his family a little bit. I've watched his brother play for years. I watched him play. And so when we took him, I was really excited. Awesome, you know, hometown story kind of deal. I wanted to see him do well, and he just hasn't been able to put it together. He hasn't been able to stay on the field. And this training camp, even when he's been out there playing, he hasn't really done too much. He hasn't really flashed. You know, he worked on his body in the off season, and it hasn't really done anything. He hasn't really been overly effective. And now to top it off, he's got that hamstring injury, and he's week to week. It's not looking good for Eric Armstead. They just picked up that fifth-year option, so he's tied into this team through next year, but he's not showing what I think they were anticipating him showing so far in camp. So I'm not I'm not very optimistic as it pertains to good old number 91. Tone, what is another negative that you've noticed during this training camp?
Well, I think the other one is the other big story as far as negatives go, and is Garnett. On the offensive line, the 49ers are looking at him to finally step up, get over these injuries, and, you know, but make a name for yourself. You know, you come from Stanford. You know, this guy was supposed to be, you know, a piece of our offensive line for years to come when we drafted him. And it's just, again, you got Kyle Shanahan like, hey, I thought he was going to be able to practice. I guess not. I mean, that's a bad, bad sign. I mean, that's a bad look, man. It really is. So that is a very big negative. I really thought, I don't know how good Garnett could be, but I really thought he would be out there on the field trying to fight for his job, trying to prove himself, and you know, hopefully reach his potential. And it's just not happening. So that's a really bad sign. And I think, honestly, if it doesn't change soon, then he might be looking elsewhere, because, you know, we drafted a guy that high, and he's not even able to be on the field and prove himself, and you got the coach calling him out. That's not a good look, man. So that would be my number one takeaway as far as negatives go in training camp.
Most definitely. JP, what about you? What is another player or another thing that you've noticed at camp that isn't necessarily on the good side of things?
Yeah, I don't really see too many other negatives. I was going to go with what Tone was saying, and I'll just reiterate what you were saying about Joshua Garnett. I mean, if you draft someone that high with a, you know, first round pick, you expect him to be on your, you know, your team for a while. You expect him to produce, but that's the exact opposite of what he's been doing. You know, he's been out with they call a knee bruise. I guess he banged knees with a defensive end or a defensive lineman. And that's just kind of unfortunate, because we
can say as much as we want sitting here on our couch talking on a podcast, but me personally, I feel like that happens almost every play in the NFL or and whatnot. So, but you know, hey, we're not ones to talk, but the fact that he's getting injured at this time, and to make it even, you know, even worse for him, Jonathan Cooper is coming back right when he is sitting out all these practices. So, and that's his direct competition right there. So the fact that you're sitting down while your competition's coming back off an injury himself is not a good look. So that's pretty much all I can say about that. There hasn't been really too many other major negative stories, but I think that Joshua Garnett is the big one, and of course Eric Armstead. But yeah, those are my thoughts.
Yeah, you know, those are definitely the biggest negatives coming out of camp. You can also hit on the lack of a connection, a lack of chemistry between Jimmy G and Pierre Garçon. You can talk about Richard Sherman looking a little rusty out there. You know, there's a few other little tidbits that are negatively being publicized about this team, but you know, that's what the games are played for. We're getting into the preseason. We're, you know, the regular season's right around the corner, and you see it every year. Things that happen in camp, once you get into the season, it's totally different than what you saw in camp. So they're going to work through stuff. They're professionals. They've been here before. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens with these guys. And, you know, I'm not too worried about things. Just like, you know, Richard Sherman looking a little rusty out there, you know, getting beat in practice, whatnot, coming off the injury. I mean, he's still got time to rehab. He's not even a year removed from the surgery. Just you hear about things in camp, and people overreact to stuff. And when the game, you know, when the ball kicks off on that first Sunday in week one, it's a totally different animal. So I'm not going to buy too much into what I'm seeing in camp. We got to let the games play out. And with that, I think we're going to move on to third down. So here we are, guys. Third down, just a matter of hours away from the 49ers' first preseason game. It's going to be at Levi's Stadium against the oh-so-hated Dallas Cowboys. And so I figured this would be a good opportunity for each of us to kind of hit on, you know, what we're looking for in this first preseason game. Tone, if you don't mind, how about you lead us off and give us one thing that you're looking forward to, or one thing that you're going to be looking for in this first game when they go up against that team out there in Dallas?
Well, my number one thing, as always in preseason, is no injuries. That is the number one thing. But as far as what I'm looking for, I would love to see the running backs. I want to see Jimmy G on the field for maybe a series, you know, not too long. But I want to see the running backs. I would like to see the offensive line gel together. I would like to see the running backs, you know, and see how, you know, how we're going to have the run game this year. And I think this is a great opportunity to see that, you know, with the very first game. I expect a sloppy football game because it is the first preseason game. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing all the running backs. And then I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, the offensive line and then the pass blocking, the run blocking. You know, that's what I'm excited to see. And also, you know, defensive-wise, too, the linebackers and everything. But I would say offensively, I'm excited to see, because this, honestly, this has the potential to be the best offense we have had in, what, since Garcia and Terrell Owens. I mean, this is has the potential to be the best offense. So I'm excited to see that.
JP, what are you looking for in this first preseason game?
Yeah, I'm basically just looking to see how all these, you know, rookies and young guys that are excelling in practice, to see how that transfers over into the actual game. You know, Dante Pettis is one of them. He's had a stellar training camp. I want to see how he takes that and brings it into the preseason game. You know, I'm pretty sure he's going to have the majority of the throws from C.J. Beathard. So I'm excited to see that. And that's another guy, C.J. Beathard. I'm excited to see how he has progressed. And he's had a real like up and down training camp. I know there's a couple of training camps that he looked good, and there's another ones where he looked really, really bad. So that's another guy who I would like to see. And also the defense, the young guys on the defense, you know, Fred Warner, and all that, you know, some of our corners as well. I'd like to see, you know, how Witherspoon is stepping up. I know he won't be out there for long, but, just to see how everything comes together. So just to see how, you know, all these players that are excelling in practice, see how they can transfer that onto the field in an actual game, you know, 'cause it's a lot different than practice. You have, you know, guys coming at you full force. So that's what I'm excited. I'm just excited, man. I'm just excited to watch some football.
You see, that's how you know people are getting hyped up for a preseason game. People are getting, you know, really excited just for football in general. I asked these guys, I asked JP and Tone, I said, give me one thing you're looking forward to, and they go all over the place. They give you a whole bunch of different answers, you know? It's that time of year. Football's in the air. It's impossible just to be hyped up for one thing, you know. But I'm going to give you one thing that I'm looking forward to in this first preseason game, and it's Dante Pettis. I want to see how Dante Pettis plays when, you know, the bullets are flying for real, when guys are going out there hitting you with all that they got. Guys are out there playing for their jobs. I'm curious to see how long Kyle Shanahan leaves him out there, because the way he's been playing in practice, it seems like he's going to get a kind of a bigger role, at least earlier on than we anticipated. So I'm curious to see how long they leave Dante Pettis out there and what he does when he's out there, when he gets the ball in his hands. If you guys have listened to this podcast before, you know, especially after the draft, you know that I wasn't super high on the Dante Pettis pick, just based on the fact that we traded up for him like we did, but he's proven me wrong. Now I know it's practice, and you know, a lot can change when the lights, you know, turn on. But I'm excited to see what Pettis can do. I want to be wrong. Prove me wrong, Dante Pettis. Go out there and make a name for yourself. Don't just do it in practice. Don't be a practice player. Go out there and ball out when the lights are brightest. So that's what I'm looking forward to in this Dallas Cowboys first preseason game here coming up in a couple of days out at Levi's Stadium. And with that, we're going to move on to our fourth and final down of the episode. Here we go, fourth down, wrapping up the show this week. Just wanted to wrap things up and let everybody know that this Sunday, August the 12th, 49er Tone and myself will be back out at training camp in Santa Clara at the practice facility, 10 a.m. practice. We'll be there bright and early. I know I'll be there bright and early because I can't sleep when it comes to doing, you know, 49er-related activities. When we went out to training camp last week, I had my alarm set for 4 a.m. I couldn't sleep. I woke up at 3 a.m. and stayed up, left my house about 4:45 in the morning, and I was the first fan in the parking lot. I got there before a lot of the parking lot staff got there at Levi's Stadium. And so I'll be there probably, I don't know, around 7, 7:30. And the practice, you know, they'll start shuttling us in about 8:30 or so over to the practice facility. And again, we'll be there Sunday, August 12th for the 10 a.m. practice. Gates open at 9 o'clock. You can start, you know, walking over to the practice field and sitting in the bleachers about 9 a.m. Looking forward to it. Cannot wait. Tone, I'm happy we're getting to go again, man. And what are you looking for this week when we head out to training camp again?
Well, the main thing I'm looking for is just the progression of the, you know, offense with Goodwin and Pettis and everything. I'm excited to see. Hopefully they have the they switch fields, because last time we seen, you know, we were focused on the defense. Hopefully this time where we're at, we'll be seeing more of the offense. I'm not exactly sure how they do that, but that's what I'll be excited to see. But honestly, man, I'm just excited for the overall event. I mean, it's Sunday morning and you're at right by Levi's Stadium watching 49er football. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. So that's what I'm looking forward to, especially it being on a Sunday. So I'm really excited, man. I can't wait. And it'll be good to see, because our game's what, this Thursday. So it'll be good to see what, you know, what the team after the game, the practice after the game, and see where the team is at. So, man, I seriously can't wait. And I know everybody in that crowd is going to be hyped up. Yeah, everybody got the juices flowing now, man. It's football season. It's here. I mean, let's go, man. Ready.
Yeah, and, you know, I expect that practice this Sunday to kind of be a good practice. They play on Thursday. You have to imagine they're going to give them Friday off for treatment. Saturday they'll get back out there, and it'll kind of be, you know, easing your way back into it, you know, coming off that first game. And then Sunday, I think, is when they're going to ramp it up a notch. I think Sunday is going to be, you know, a more intense practice. You're getting into, you know, the additional weeks in the preseason. You know, as you go throughout the preseason, the games get more and more intense, more and more closer to live action. So I think that Sunday practice could be a really good one. And, you know, they're going to have a game film to have watched over and see, hey, we need to do this better. We need to improve in this area. Oh, we did this great, but you know what? We need to work on this. And so I think coming off that first preseason game, when you're heading out to practice that this Sunday, you're going to get to see a little more of an intense practice, a little more of a practice that is going to have some meaning behind it, because they're going to have, you know, some film to come off of. And I'm looking forward to it. There's nothing like it being out there, waking up early, you know, just taking the drive out there, getting there to camp, smelling the grass. It's just the feeling of football. There is nothing like it. You know, whether you're out there tailgating at your favorite team stadium or you're sitting there at practice, just I feel like a kid on Christmas. I feel like, you know, just giddy and excited when it comes to anything 49ers, but just I can't wait, even for a practice. I'm excited just to go out there and see the guys up close and personal. Hopefully we'll get some more autographs. You know, hopefully we'll get some more good footage for you guys. And again, be sure to check out the Forever Faithful Podcast YouTube page. If you search for the Forever Faithful Podcast on YouTube, you'll find us. And we'll have some video uploading today of that practice that we went to last week. Haven't had a chance to post it, but it'll be up today. And we'll be taking more video when we go to practice this weekend as well. So with that, JP, man, I know you're not going to be able to be out there at Santa Clara this week, but what are you looking forward to as, you know, training camp progresses and we get into these preseason games? Like, what's on your mind going forward?
Yeah, I think I just want to see some, like, a definitive answer on as far as that the guard position, the opening guard position with, you know, Garnett and Jonathan Cooper, who we brought in this offseason. I just want to see something. You know what I mean? Jonathan Cooper, who's been out, he's injured. He's you know, easing his way back in. And like we talked about earlier in this podcast, Joshua Garnett has been out. And it's just been pretty negative on his part. So I just want to see something emerge from that. Some sort of, you know, somebody taking the lead or somebody just taking control and who really wants to take over that guard spot. It's a pretty important spot on our defensive or on our offensive line. So that's one thing that I'm really looking to see in this upcoming, you know, upcoming training camps and even the preseason, seeing how some of the guards and whatnot in our offensive line handles this offense. And so, yeah, some good offensive line play and people stepping up. That's what I'm looking forward to in the upcoming training camp and preseason.
So there you have it, 49er faithful. Here we go. The games are here. Football is back. It is official, like a referee with a whistle. We are ready to go here on the Forever Faithful podcast, and you can watch out for brand new content, brand new podcasts each and every week throughout the 2018 season and beyond, because, you know, with the NFL, it's a 24/7, 365 days a year business. So here we go. We started this podcast, you know, back in April, and here we go. This is why we're doing this. The games are about to be played. The football is about to be kicked off, and I can't wait. I'm excited. We've been talking about what ifs and ands and buts and this and that and speculation all off season, and it's here. Whatever we've talked about, whatever, you know, we've wanted to see, everything, it's right in front of us. And so I'm excited. I know JP and Tone are hyped. And we're looking forward to it. So with that, we're signing off here on the Forever Faithful podcast. And until next time, as always, it is one team, one family, and one goal.